The reading is from 1 Luke, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time when we can come to worship you. And even now, as we come to listen to your word, we just pray for Jeff as he brings the word to us. Be with him. Speak through him, O Lord. May your Holy Spirit give him that special anointing, even for this purpose. I just pray for each one of us listening that you prepare our hearts to listen to your word and receive it and be doers of the word. Just be with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you again this morning. How wonderful this is. Advent is here. Oh, Advent is here. I just love this season, don't you? Christmas is coming. Woo-hoo-hoo. Don't you just love it? Not just the kids. It's not just for the kids. Hope. Hope is coming. Advent's here. Christmas is near. Hope is coming. When my kids were little, we took them to Mallorca. I know, I'm bragging. And in Mallorca, they've got a tourist attraction called the Caves of Drac. I don't know if you've ever been there. Sounds dreadful, doesn't it? The Caves of Drac. They're wonderful places. There's a picture. Look at this. Fantastic. And you go down these steps. You join a group with a leader, and you go down these steps, and you come upon these lakes down there, and they've got boats, and you can go on the boats, and there's music, and all these stalactites, and the other things, the other ones, up and down ones, are there, all lit up and touristy, but it's wonderful. And we were at a viewing station, about 30 of us in the group, and the man who was leading us said, "I'm going to turn the lights out, so you will really know what darkness is all about." And he pulled the plug and it went solid. I don't know if you've ever experienced total and utter darkness, but it sort of grabs you. It surrounds you. It's thick. You can cut it with a knife. It's a horrible experience. And all of a sudden in the crowd, you heard this voice. "Mummy." That's me. "Mummy, I don't like it." And the mummy said, "Don't worry, darling. There's a man here who knows where the lights are, and he will turn them on.
I hope.
And he waited a while. And then he turned the switch on and the lights came up and we all cheered and laughed and hugged. The light had come on. Hope was there. This passage before us is a great example of hope coming. It's probably the passage, really, about Jesus coming and bringing hope. Hope is coming. God is on the move. He's always on the move. He's on the move now, but he's on the move in these passages of pre-Christmas birth and around the Christmas time in a massive way. The movement of the Holy Spirit around this time, around this period, is enormous. He's hard work. The angels are doing overtime. He's sending angels here, there, everywhere. Joseph received Gabriel, came to Joseph. Mary receives Gabriel. When Gabriel comes, apparently it means there's a very important message to bring. Gabriel brings very important messages. There's something going on here. There's something new happening. It's a New Testament. It's a brand new age coming. A brand new light will be shining. This is something different than the movement of God in the past. This is something very special. Very, very special. Something new. It doesn't get much better, I don't think, than this passage. Although, well, we have the resurrection and other fantastic passages that God has given us to encourage us to believe that there's always hope. One of our deepest longings. What did David say? Hope-filled longings is being fulfilled. I don't know if you have ever experienced that type of darkness in your life, maybe physically, like we have in the caves of Drac, but maybe too in some circumstance or other, or some hope that didn't come to fruition, that you were disappointed about and it didn't work, and then things didn't seem to get any better. Have you ever been in that type of darkness? I hope you're not in any kind of darkness, but especially that type of darkness that covers you, that embraces you and thickens around you. It's horrible, isn't it? And I know that there's several of us at the moment going through very difficult times. And I know one thing about all of you. You've all experienced something like that darkness. Where do we find our hope? We all have them. Hopes that all will be well in the end. How are you doing with that one? That our work will last. That our health will last. That our money will last throughout this season. That this sermon won't last too long. Some hopes are disappointing. But God has given us a hope that will not disappoint us. Do you believe that? A hope based on the life and death. Yes, death, a deep darkness for God. And resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A hope based on his life, his death and his resurrection. It's a hope found not in avoidance of suffering, but in the working through the suffering. Keeps us going in the darkness, draws us on, ever onward, ever upward. Look up. Don't look down. For suffering produces perseverance, doesn't it? You keep going. You've got a vague hope, but you keep going, you keep going. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, what does character produce? Hope. Romans 5:3-5. We know it so well. So what is there in this particular passage? Thank you. Brilliant. You're doing a great job for me this morning that helps us have that type of hope. So let's look at this particular passage. Let's start with God, shall we? How about that? God is the source of our hope. He's the God of hope. God. Do you believe in God? Do you have your hope in God? In the passage, verse 26, God sent the angel Gabriel. God came. God came through the angel Gabriel and brought his message to Mary. Do you believe in God? It's a simple question. I'm sure you do, or you probably wouldn't be here, but you may not. You may still be struggling with that one. I sometimes wonder how people cannot believe in God when they watch the Richard Attenborough Planet Earth 3. Has anyone been watching that lately? The Richard Attenborough films about the creation are incredible. I don't know for sure, but I'm not sure he's a Christian. I'm not sure he's a believer. I cannot believe that. How can you not believe when you look out? Who put this here? Who made all this stuff? And you look in the universe and you see the planets. None of them bash into each other. They're all perfect, aren't they? All going round in sequence. Nothing gets destroyed out there, as we can see. It's all clockwork working. And our planet, Earth, wow. Teeming with life. Teeming with life. Do you know there's more than 50 different types of snail? There we are, that's one for the breakfast table. It's incredible that he gives us such abundance and in so many different things and different types of creatures and insects and birds and fish and animals that jump and monkeys. I just love them, don't you? I love that program. I get so uplifted. I think, how can you not believe in a God that can create such wonders? Where does all this come from? It didn't just happen. I'm not stupid to believe such a thing. People can believe that. They might call me stupid for believing in a God that created all that. I don't understand that at all. Do you believe in God when you see what's happening in creation and what happens in nature and what it's like? And our planet, just teeming, beautiful, crazy, wonderful planet that we live on. The very next planet, which we can actually see with the naked eye, is not got one blade of grass on it. No, not that we know of, a living thing at all. We seem in the solar system to be the only planet, and we've not just got a few bits, like a tree here, you know, and some flowers there or some fish. We've got an abundance of stuff. It's brilliant, isn't it? Yet the very next door neighbour has nothing. And that tells me something. This must be very special for us to be in that perfect place. Who did this? Who did that? Do we have a picture of creation? Well, look at that. Wait till it starts moving. That's when it really comes alive, doesn't it? And what about the rainbow? How about the rainbow? Look at that. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Where God says that never again will I destroy the earth in Genesis. He gives us this sign that we might have hope that despite all the global warming predictions, and don't get me wrong here, we do need to work at this under God. We do need to work at all this very much. And we are, it seems to me, there is great hope that we are actually coming round to doing something about global warming. And we need to, absolutely. But at the end of the day, God says, don't worry. I've set my rainbow in the sky. It's a sign of hope. And I think we could have great hope in these things. It's called faith. We have to believe by faith. We might have another view. But faith brings great hope. Faith in the things that surround us. Look at Psalm 121, verse 1 to 8. Let's have a look at that one. I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let my foot slip. He who watches over me will not slumber. He doesn't go to sleep. God is not resting. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you, your life, and the Lord will watch over your comings and your goings now and forever. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? By faith, of course. Do you believe that he is watching over you? Wherever you go, your comings and your goings, he will be with you. It's a promise of God, and God does not lie. He will promise to do this for you. It gives us great hope, doesn't it? Doesn't the scriptures give us great hope? Look up. Where does my help come from? Look up. Keep looking up. I always remember David once used an illustration of holding a broom on his finger. Do you remember that, David? And he said, the only way you can keep it balanced is to look up. Keep your eye on the top of it. Do you remember that? It's a while back now. It's a good illustration. Keep your eye on him. A friend of mine, recently I said to him, will you be having a good Christmas? And he said, well, we live in hope. That didn't seem very positive. A bit like saying, well, with a bit of luck. We have more than that, don't we? We have more than that. As Christians, we don't believe in luck. We believe in God, for whom nothing, nothing is impossible. It's not a vague hope that something good will happen. One day, maybe. It's a certain and sure hope that something good will happen. If we keep our faith on him and we keep our eye on him. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says this. Now faith is confidence, confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's an assurance of what we do not see. Faith. Confidence, assurance. Wow! We have all that we need to find hope in this world. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Our hope is in him, God. Our trust is in his word, the promises of God. It's based on what he has done in the past. And we can look at that and think, wow, if he did it then, he can do it now and he can do it then. He can do it for me if he did it for them. Who has everything under control. God, isn't that nice to know? That we have a power, a powerful God, a creator God, who we can rely on and can trust and we can put our faith in and think, I do have hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, he was one of the leaders in the civil rights movement in America, you probably know him, said this simple phrase, keep hope alive, he says. Keep hope alive. That's one of our tasks. It's to keep hope alive in the lives of our friends who don't have that kind of hope at the moment, or maybe going through some distressing time. Our task should be, one of them anyway, to keep hope alive. I mean, if the Christian gives up on hope, we've had it. And then that's what God's been doing in the past, through the prophets over the years. Let's look at a couple of those that relate to the passage we got before us this morning. In Micah 5:2, look at that. "But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from afar, from ancient times." These are words written something like 500 years before the birth of Christ. How about Hosea? Hosea 11:1. "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son." Don't you remember? Jesus came out of Israel, out of Egypt. After the birth, he had to flee to Egypt, stayed in Egypt for a while and came out of Egypt. What about Isaiah? Because Isaiah gives us many, many passages about our Lord Jesus. 9:2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has shined." People walking in darkness have seen a great light. They hadn't, actually, yet. This is 500 or 600 years earlier. But they were so sure of the God they believed in that he said, we have seen it. They knew it. They knew it in their heart. "Those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And Jesus hadn't actually been born yet. And so sure of their faith. Isaiah 7 verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. We have a very powerful God. And then we find this passage. It's the virgin birth, as we call it. The virgin birth. I mean, how are you doing with that? I know. It doesn't happen. You can't have a baby if you're a virgin. I know, girls, don't have to explain it to me. I think I'll understand. But Mary was very special, and God came upon her, overshadowed her. Special. One off. You know, the virgin birth is not incidental. It's fundamental to our faith. We cannot have salvation unless God was born through Jesus in the womb of a virgin, pure and holy. One of the most important links in the chain of salvation, the virgin birth. The very foundation on which the saving power of the cross is based. You know, Jesus had to come as he did in order to be what he was and do what he did. He had to be born of a virgin in order that he was who he says he was, is who he says he is, and does what he says he does, brings salvation to the sinner. Please don't question the virgin birth. Don't ask me to explain it. Just believe it. There is nothing God cannot do. Unbelievably, incredibly, God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. It's true. So that's God, the basis for our faith. which needs believing. Section 2 is this. Believing is the condition. God is the source. Believing is the condition of hope. Believe in his promises. No word from God will ever fail. God puts his words into actions. And God said through the prophet Isaiah, a virgin will conceive. She conceived. It came true. It took a while, of course. Patience is needed, but it happened. Even if someone seems to become, even if something seems to become more and more unlikely, do not stop believing in it. There are so many things in our world today that we think, wow, this is hopeless. This is dreadful. Believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. And he will come again. There's another tenet of the Christian faith, a doctrine that we believe in, that we stand on. He will come again. In verse 14 of John's Gospel, we could have that up a moment. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare that place for you, I'll come back. There we are. And take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the Father. Who's doing the work here? It's Jesus. I will come. I've got to go. But I will come and take you to where I am. I will come again. It's one of the passages we used for our faith in his second coming. You know the way to the Father, to the place where I am going. Thomas said, no, Lord, I'm not sure where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? And Jesus then said these wonderful words, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin, only Jesus. He was the only one who can give us salvation, who can get us to God, who can bring us home. Do believe this. He will come again. He will come again. And just after this discussion he was having with his disciples, he died on a cross but rose to life on Easter Sunday, just to prove that he can come back again. He died, he rose, he will come again. And thirdly and finally, you'll be pleased, peace. Peace is the consequences of our hope, thank goodness. God is the source, believing is the condition, and peace is the consequence. Mary said, let your word to me be fulfilled. Let your word to me be fulfilled. Acceptance of the circumstances in which she found herself, which weren't easy and couldn't have been good for her to hear. She just says, I accept this. Let it be. If sorrow weighs you down, if you're weighed down by a darkness or covered in darkness, if it's dimming your hope because of the circumstance you're going through, think about Mary. Wait patiently for God like she did to finish his work that he's already doing in your life. I don't know where that might take, but with God it will always bring us to that good place. All will be well in the end. You will receive peace in the darkness, a peace that passeth understanding. This is a peace not that you find on the beach in Mallorca, but of peace. That percolates your heart and brings you that hope that you know if you keep going, all will be well. Let it be, let it be. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer. There will be an answer. Let it be. In Proverbs 3, 5, 6, look not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. The supreme character of a Christian is not that he never gets knocked down, but when he gets knocked down, he gets raised up. Surround yourself with positive people. If you're going through bad times, if you're going through negative vibes of some kind, surround yourself with positive people. Keep pushing forward towards the goal, like we want the Albion to do this afternoon, with a bit of luck. Never give up. Push into God. Keep going. Keep pushing. Believing. Keep believing. Keep receiving. Keep receiving from him. Remember, God majors in the impossible. And if we do believe this, and I believe it with all my heart, that only in God do I have any hope, then I have a duty, surely, to share that with someone. Surely I would want to, as Tim was saying, say something about why it is I believe in God and Jesus in such a time as this. Why not share that hope by perhaps inviting them to some of the services that we've got going on in the church over the Christmas period? They're brilliant times. They will love it when they come. They will enjoy it. And God will touch their hearts and renew their spirits. And as we take communion, I'm finally finished. It's a reenactment of a deep and horrible darkness, the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. But it led to the greatest hope the world has ever known. There's a man here. He knows where the lights are, and he will turn them on. Let me end with this prayer for you and for me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.